バグルチェバスレバヤ
オムナモバグルチェバスレバヤ
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 オムナモバグルチェバスレバヤ。
Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, text 55. Mat karma krit mat paramo mat bhakta sangavarjitaha nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamam eti pandava mat karma krit mat paramo mad bhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasamam eti pandava. Please repeat. Mad karma krit.
Mad karma krit.
Engaged in doing my work.
Engaged in doing my work.
Mad parama.
Mad parama.
Considering me the supreme.
Considering me the supreme.
Mat bhakta.
Mat bhakta.
Engaged in my devotional service.
Engaged in my devotional service.
Sangavarjita.
Sangavarjita.
Freed from the contamination.
Freed from the contamination.
Of fruitive activities.
Of fruitive activities.
And mental speculation.
And mental speculation.
Nirvaira.
Nirvaira.
Without an enemy.
Without an enemy.
Sarvabhuteshu.
Sarvabhuteshu.
Among all living entities.
Among all living entities.
Ya.
Ya.
One who.
One who.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
He.
Mam,
Mam,
unto me,
unto me.
Eti,
Eti,
comes,
comes.
Pandava,
Pandava,
O son of Pandu,
O son of Pandu.
Translation: my dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation. He who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Please repeat. My dear Arjuna.
My dear Arjuna.
He who engages,
he who engages
in my pure devotional service,
in my pure devotional service,
free from the contamination,
free from the contamination
of fruitive activities,
of fruitive activities,
and mental speculation,
and mental speculation.
He who works for me,
he who works for me,
who makes me the supreme goal of his life.
Who makes me the supreme goal of his life.
And who is friendly to every living being.
And who is friendly to every living being.
He certainly comes to me.
He certainly comes to me.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the supreme personality, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. So, in the first paragraph of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is meant for the conditioned souls to enlighten them about three important items of knowledge. First, the identity of the living entities as spirit souls, parts and parcels of Krishna, who are by constitution the eternal servants of Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita further teaches them that the goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And here, the Bhagavad Gita explains the process by which one can go back home, back to Godhead. And the process is devotional service. As far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities. As stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.255, anasaktasya vishayan yataram upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchyate. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for him, for Krishna. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a big building for his sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity's service, as is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service. This is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the result of his work, but the result should be offered to Krishna, and one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offerings to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. But it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada himself is the example of how one can perfectly fulfill the instructions of Lord Krishna here in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, Srila Prabhupada lived as a sannyasi in India before he came to America. But he had received an instruction from his Guru Maharaj at Radha Kund that if you ever get money, print books. So when Srila Prabhupada came to America and began to preach Krishna consciousness, some young men and women came forward to help him. And he immediately engaged them in printing Back to Godhead magazine. And later, as he got more facility, he published Bhagavad Gita as it is, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and eventually Ishopanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, and eventually Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between fruitive work and devotional service, because the two may appear very similar, but actually they're very different. And the difference is of consciousness. In fruitive work, one works for one's own sense gratification, whereas in devotional service, one works for Krishna's pleasure. And Srila Prabhupada gave his own example that he was a sannyasi, but he was going into the marketplace in Delhi, going to the paper shops, purchasing paper, going to the printer's shop and engaging the printer. And from the material point of view, one could think, what kind of a sannyasi is he? He's engaged in material activities, just like anyone else. But Srila Prabhupada explains that the difference is that he was not going into the market to buy paper or going to the printer's shop to print books about sense gratification to make money so that he could spend it on sense gratification. But he was going to print books about Krishna. And whatever money he got from the books would be used for the service of Krishna, not for himself. And therefore the same activity that resembles exactly fruitive activity was actually devotional service, because it was done for Krishna. And therefore Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the first instruction in the verse here, mat karma krit, that one should work for Krishna. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada engaged hundreds and thousands of disciples in distributing his books. And every day, thousands of dollars were coming into the society through the distribution of books. But the disciples also did not keep the money to use for sense gratification, but they gave the money to Srila Prabhupada or his representatives to engage in Krishna's service. And therefore they also were engaged through disciplic succession in Krishna karma, work for Krishna. So, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that if one builds a beautiful temple for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living in the building, but one lives in the building as the servant of Krishna, and Krishna is the proprietor. And we also heard stories. Of course, I joined in Boston in 1969. But even then, we heard stories about the temple in Los Angeles, how the devotees would go out in the streets and perform Harinam Sankirtan and invite people to the temple. Their whole purpose was to bring people to the temple to see Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish. And because they were the proprietors, they are the proprietors, and we were the servants, and we were going out to bring people to come and see them, because we knew that the people who came to see them would be benefited, and also the deities would be pleased to see the people come to them. So the devotees were able to live, but they were living as servants in the temple of Krishna and living by the mercy of Krishna, by Krishna Prasad. That is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land, in India at least, any poor man has a certain amount of land. He can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer him. One can sow tulsi plants because tulsi leaves are very important, and Krishna has recommended this in Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Krishna desires that one offer him either a leaf or a flower or fruit or a little water. And by such an offering, he is satisfied. This leaf especially refers to the tulsi. One can sow tulsi and pour water on the plant. Thus, even the poorest man can engage in the service of Krishna. These are some of the examples of how one can engage in working for Krishna. So, January 14th marked the 25th anniversary of the grand opening of Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihariji's temple and cultural center in Juhu, Bombay. And the devotees there are celebrating the anniversary, or silver jubilee, for 5 days. Even today, the celebrations are continuing in Juhu. And therefore, I will dedicate the rest of the purport and the discussion of the purport to Srila Prabhupada and his service to Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari in Bombay. Now, we just read about how even the poorest man can offer a leaf or a flower to Krishna. And here I recall one incident with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. As many of you may know from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita and other sources, Srila Prabhupada entered an agreement to buy a piece of land near Juhu Beach, which he subsequently called Hare Krishna land. But the owner of the land, named Mr. Nair, took the down payment from Srila Prabhupada, and on some pretext he canceled the sales agreement and wanted to keep the money. And of course Srila Prabhupada wanted the land, but still he told Mr. Nair that you return our money and we will go. Otherwise, you give us the land. But you cannot keep both the land and the money. So because of the legal complications with the landlord, Srila Prabhupada was not actually able to, you know, complete the transaction for some time. And Srila Prabhupada had no place to stay. We weren't able to construct any place for Srila Prabhupada to stay at Hare Krishna land. So Srila Prabhupada had one staunch householder devotee named Mr. Sethi. He's still there in Bombay. He's quite old now, but he's still there, very active and very devoted. And he was building a house in the Juhu scheme near the temple. And the name of the house was Vrindavan. And when the house was almost ready, but not furnished, Mr. Sethi invited Srila Prabhupada to stay there, because Srila Prabhupada was just moving from place to place, staying in different people's houses in the Juhu area. So at least here Srila Prabhupada could have the house to himself and a few of his disciples. So he began to stay there. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, was very preoccupied with the whole complication regarding the Juhu land, and he was always discussing it with his senior disciples and sometimes with life members and friends and lawyers and other people who could help. So one day, when Srila Prabhupada was, you know, having a serious discussion about Hare Krishna land, a very poor man means like a laborer, Indian laborer, sort of dark complexion and muscular physique, and just wearing a little piece of white cloth, sort of dirty white cloth, around his waist. And I don't know how he knew Srila Prabhupada was even in the house, but he walked in the door, downstairs. Prabhupada was upstairs. He walked up the stairs, came to the door, and there was Srila Prabhupada with some gentlemen engaged in conversation. Walked into the room, past the devotees that Srila Prabhupada was discussing with, walked straight up to Srila Prabhupada's table, and he placed a bunch of flowers before Srila Prabhupada, bowed down, and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved. I mean, he couldn't even speak for a few moments. I mean, he was so moved. And then he began to say how this humble soul had come and offered these flowers to him. And he was so touched by the person's devotion, just a very ordinary laborer. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so what to speak of Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but even Krishna, if someone offers him just some flowers or leaves with devotion, he also is by the offer, and he is pleased to accept it. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada was expert, and he engaged so many gentlemen in Bombay to give for the temple, and he engaged his disciples to engage the gentlemen of Bombay. His Holiness Sridhar Swami called upon Dwarkadish Das when he was living in Bombay, but in one of the northern suburbs. Mahim or Matunga?
Matunga.
And Dwarkadish Das became a life member. So that was his beginning, Krishna karma. And now, look where he has come. He's sitting right next to Swavas Prabhu. So, that is Krishna karma. It is, if one is able, like at the time, the biggest donors we had to the Juhu temple then were the Hindujas. If one is able, one can give a big donation to help build a beautiful temple. But if one is not able, if all one can do is just pick some leaves and flowers and bring them to offer to the deity or to the saintly person, that is also Krishna karma. And Krishna regards both equally. In fact, it is said that Krishna doesn't see how much you're giving him, but he sees how much you're holding back. So, if a rich man gives, you know, 5 lakhs, but he's keeping for himself 50 crores, Krishna sees that. And if someone is just eking out a very meager existence, getting a few rupees to maintain himself and his family, and if he goes out of his way and brings some leaves and flowers, which he probably doesn't even have in his own house, Krishna considers that very important. So, a devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore, it is said here that he has no enemy, nirvaira. How is this? A devotee situated in Krishna consciousness knows that only devotional service to Krishna can relieve a person from all problems of life. He has personal experience of this, and therefore he wants to introduce this system, Krishna consciousness, into human society. And this was Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission in Juhu. It was his mood and mission all over the world, but specifically we're going to this Juhu. So let us continue. There are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for the spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. Similarly, in India also there are many examples, such as Thakur Haridas and Prahlad Maharaj. Why such risk? Because they wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it is difficult. A Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it is due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbor from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now, we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. So, superficially, we could say that Srila Prabhupada had many enemies in Juhu. Because first of all, Mr. Nair wanted to keep the money and the land. And Mr. Nair basically mounted a campaign to drive the devotees and the deities from the land. He even hired one coconut walla. Mm-hmm. They climb the trees and they have their knives and they cut down the coconuts, named Ramu. And Ramu, he would sort of, when it was time for aarti and devotees from the neighborhood would come to the temple, he would stand near the gate brandishing this machete and like trying to intimidate the people and scare the people so they wouldn't come. And sometimes Mr. Nair would cut the electricity. Sometimes he would cut the water. And as it is, there are so many mosquitoes there, what to speak of rats. So it was very difficult. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, insisted we must stay. You know, we cannot give in. And eventually, there were so many intrigues and court cases, and in the end Srila Prabhupada was successful. But there was a big clique, Srila Prabhupada said, there was a big clique that formed to drive them off of the land, drive us off of the land. So a devotee has no enemies, but it seemed that Prabhupada had so many enemies. The landlord, the tenants, the neighbors, the municipal corporation, some of the government officers and the police department. They were acting like enemies. So how is it possible that a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada could have enemies? Srila Prabhupada explains that although the devotee is friendly to everyone, he wants only the welfare of all living entities, and therefore he takes so much trouble to preach Krishna consciousness. Although he is friendly towards everyone, but there are people who become envious of the pure devotee, and they become inimical out of their own envious natures. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the snake. Because the snake is considered very envious. But Chanakya Pandit says that although a snake and a human being both are envious, but an envious man is more dangerous than an envious snake. because a snake can be charmed by mantras and herbs, but an envious person cannot be pacified by any means. So many enemies, so many enemies, so many problems, but Prabhupada tolerated. And why? Only for the sake of doing good for others. Only for the sake of giving people Krishna consciousness. And what is the result of such an attitude of service? In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. In other words, if one does work for Krishna, and in particular work to spread Krishna consciousness, to do the best welfare work, not only for the human society, but for every living entity, the result is that in the end he will go back home, back to Godhead. Now, Srila Prabhupada had a great mission. He wanted to deliver every living entity back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, he opened centers all over the world, especially for broadcasting the holy name and engaging people in chanting the holy name, distributing the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and engaging others in distributing the same message. And by engaging them in the same work for the benefit of others, in other words, engaging them in the work of spreading Krishna consciousness, they would also be guaranteed the same result of going back home, back to Godhead. So, basically, there are two categories of devotees, in one sense. They're the bhajananandis, who just want to enjoy the bliss of Krishna consciousness, but they're not so involved in helping others to become Krishna conscious. And then there are the gostiyanandis, who take pleasure in bringing others to Krishna consciousness beyond any other consideration. And although the bhajananandis may be very concerned with their own liberation, that in the end they can go back home, back to Godhead, and enter into a direct relationship with Krishna, it is actually the gostiyanandis who dedicate their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness that are assured by Lord Krishna himself of going back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master instructed him, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that if you preach Krishna consciousness, you will benefit, and the people who hear you will also benefit. Both will benefit. So, I suppose many of you have visited the Juhu Temple. How many of you have visited the Juhu Temple? Just see. So, it is the result of a great struggle, or I should say a series of struggles, that such a temple exists, and it is able to engage people and serve people from all over the world so that they can get the real solution to life's problems and go back home, back to Godhead. So, His Holiness Sridhar Swami has played a great part in organizing the festival and especially in inviting the devotees who worked on the project from the beginning, even the devotees who preached in Bombay before we even got the Juhu land. So a large number of devotees have gone, and he got one very nice devotee there, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, to sponsor their tickets. So from the Los Angeles area, Mother Kaushalya has gone. Madhuvisa Prabhu has gone. He was actually the temple president in Akash Ganga, which was the flat we had on Morden Road before we got the Juhu land. And Ms. Tragunya Prabhu has gone. He was like the site supervisor. I mean, before that, he would go out with us preaching, and then when the construction began, he became Saurabh Prabhu's main assistant to supervise the work on the site. And Ekanath Prabhu is gone. He's with the Bhaktivedanta Archives. Of course, they've moved from Los Angeles, but still. And he was the treasurer for the construction department. And Gurudas Prabhu from the Bay Area, he often comes to the Prabhupada festivals here. He went, and Shamsundar Prabhu. Many have gone and are there now. And I'm sure when they come back, they will have many wonderful experiences to share, stories to tell. Narayan Prabhu is there. He, the other day I was telling the story and somehow visualizing it in cinematic terms. And he, you know, his role in the film would have been most dramatic, most dramatic. But we'll save that for another time or for a smaller group. That was like a turning point. Well, I can tell you, because it's not to find fault with anyone, because we were just very new in India and new in Krishna consciousness. And the fact that Srila Prabhupada was able to do so much with us is just a further testimony to Srila Prabhupada's glory. But anyway, at the back of Hare Krishna land, there's a garden. You know, there are like six buildings around the garden, and in the middle of the garden was a statue of Mahatma Gandhi. So, everything was fine, and then August 15th came, India's Independence Day, and the tenants who were living in the tenement buildings came to celebrate Independence Day by gathering around the statue of Mahatma Gandhi. Now, the role of tenants in India is different from the role of tenants in America. In America, the owner is the owner. and the tenants only have rights really in their apartments or in their houses, and of course they have access. But in India, the tenants have more rights than the landlords. So, but Narayan was thinking, this is our property now. You know, we can control who comes into the garden and who doesn't and what they do in the garden. So, Narayan was in charge of the garden under Prabhupada's order. And he has a very big, bellicose voice.
Yeah.
So when he saw the tenants gathering around the statue of Mahatma Gandhi, you know, he went up to them and said, "Go away. You cannot come here. You know, this is our garden." I mean, he might not have said that, but that was the idea, that, you know, this is our garden and we're working in the garden. You just can't come into our garden. So, they said, well, it's India's Independence Day, and we've come to honor the occasion at the statue of Mahatma Gandhi. Oh, Mahatma Gandhi. He's a demon. So that was it. It's like if that was in a movie, you know, there'd be like a close-up of Narayan's face. Oh, Mahatma Gandhi, he's a demon. And then like all the heavy music. And then that was it. Then the next scene, letters being typed, Prime Minister, Home Minister, Chief of Police, you know, subject. Insult to the father of the nation.
Wow.
And that was sort of like, that was like the beginning of the opposition. And then, so like Nair took advantage of their... Anyway, it was a big drama. It was a big drama. Nrsingananda Prabhu of ITV at one time actually wanted to make a movie. It would make a good movie. He was going to work with... he does all the books and tapes in L.A., the elderly brahmachari or vanaprastha. Begins with A. Amalabhakta. Amalabhakta. They're going to work on the screenplay together.
Wow.
Very dramatic story. And another heroine, she didn't go. She didn't go to Bombay. But is Mai Tahili. I mean, this was another vivid scene. This was in 1973. We had it was a battle. It was like a seesaw. You know, we would get the upper hand, and they would get the upper hand, and we would get the upper hand, and they would get the upper hand. So we sort of had the upper hand. We had gotten permission to build a semi-permanent temple. It was very simple, with steel tubes as supports and asbestos sheets and some brickwork, simple brickwork. So, Mr. Nair was in very close terms with the local municipal councillor, and he was really hostile towards us. He was really antagonistic. So, as we learned, well, I'll just tell it as we experienced it. So one day, after the morning program, I was chanting my rounds in the temple, and suddenly these big lorries come up to Hare Krishna land. And there's some trucks from the municipality, and there's like a paddy wagon from the police station. So all these municipal workers come down out of the lorries with their sledgehammers and like pickaxes and chisels, and they start to attack the temple. demolish the temple. So, you know, I was shocked. Like, I couldn't believe what was happening. And we had the permission. You know, I said, what are you doing? He said, you know, you don't have permission. The structure is illegal and we've come to demolish it. So I ran and I got the permission. I was trying to show it to them. They wouldn't, like, pay any attention. So, of course, we tried to intervene to stop them physically. And so the police just started picking us up one by one and putting us in the paddy wagon. And Mata Healy, she was the... I mean, I think probably her name is Maitali, but we used to say Mata Healy. So Mata Healy, she positioned herself. She also had, like... And she positioned herself in front of the door to the deity room like this, you know. And she was, like, so brave and heroic. And they didn't know what to do. You know, they couldn't get past her. But eventually, they grabbed her by the hair and dragged her away. It was so... Even then, she didn't... You know, she was, like, struggling and fighting. And then they took us all to the police station. But there was one devotee named Manasvi. He was actually Gujarati. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as heroic as we were. He was sort of hiding in the bushes, watching everything happen. But he was intelligent. So when he saw what was happening, he went to one of the tenants' houses and phoned Bal Thackeray, who was like the leader of the Shiv Sena party in Bombay. I guess different people have different opinions about him. But he really got, you know, excited when he got the phone call from Manasvi Prabhu. And apart from his staunch Hindu fervor, it also happened that the local municipal councillor was from the Congress Party. So that might have added a little more impetus. So he phoned the municipal commissioner. And as we heard later, he said, you know, your people are trying to destroy a Hindu temple in Juhu, Hare Krishna temple. And then he said, you know, don't you forget who this city belongs to. You know, I want this demolition to stop immediately. So then the municipal commissioner phoned the local ward officer in Andheri. We came under the K ward. And then the ward officer personally came to the site to stop the demolition. But there was another dramatic incident that took place there. That they were trying to break the steel tubes that were supporting the roof of the Darshan Mandap, and of course the deity room. But they couldn't with their with the sledgehammers and saws, chainsaws, they couldn't. So some of the municipal workers went back to the ward office to get blow torches. So they came back with blow torches. And they were actually starting to, like, cut through the bottom of the steel tubes. So the first lady devotee to join us in Juhu and take initiation was Gandiva. And she was just from down the street. And her mother had some sort of mystic powers. And then, I mean, what a Actually, someone should make a movie. So the right across from the temple, there's this old frame house. It like really looked like a haunted house. And the man in the house, he was like very powerful in Juhu, because Juhu was just like a poor fisherman's village. And so he did some sort of like seances. He would have meetings, and lots of people would come, you know, and they'd pay money. And he would bring them into conversation with their deceased loved ones. And he had a strange little area outside in his garden where there are these little stone chairs and an altar. I mean, we don't even know what he did, but it seemed very dark and mysterious. So he didn't like us coming into Juhu because he was like a demagogue there, you know. All these ignorant people were coming to him, and he was a big man. So he also didn't like us. So these people, these enemies, they sort of gathered around when the temple was being attacked. So Mr. Matre, he was kitty corner, just by the, there was a Shiva temple there. So he was sort of talking to his friends and laughing and smiling. And then the man from across who was doing the seances and occult procedures, he was laughing. When they brought the blow torches, he was laughing. And Gandiva's mother, like, cursed him.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And said that just as you were laughing because Krishna's temple is being burned, one day you will burn.
Wow.
And some... some weeks or months later, not more than, I don't remember exactly, maybe 2 or 3 months later, right at Mangalarti time, we heard shrieks, wow, shrill shrieks coming from the old frame house across the street. And then we saw an ambulance come, police cars. And later we found out that the man who had laughed, he had poured kerosene all over his body and set fire to his body, committed suicide. Yeah. So don't mess with Krishna. Don't mess with Srila Prabhupada. And then, like a small note about the municipal councillor. Because, like, everyone was getting reactions. I mean, I can't go through the whole list. Even Mr. Nair, like, he suddenly had a heart attack and died. I mean, everyone was getting reactions. The only one who seemed to be carrying on business as usual was the local municipal councillor. So, I think it was 19... I'm not sure the exact year, but it was a little after Prabhupada left. And I was talking with Tamal Krishna Goswami that... Oh, there was another one also. He tried to do some mischief. He also collapsed. He was an MLA, member of the Legislative Assembly. And he got in the same group, you know, against us. And one day he, like, collapsed in front of the Sachivalaya, the state government building, and he just died on the spot on the sidewalk. So, like, everyone was getting reactions, and I was discussing with Tamal Krishna Goswami, what about the local municipal councillor? I mean, what's with him? And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, he quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita, that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So he said, you know, his reaction will be that he will be dishonored. And so it happened. A few weeks later, it was discovered that he had a racket. I mean, he had many rackets. I mean, people were building all these illegal booths on Juhu Beach and having concessions, and they had no permits or anything. They're just paying him, and everything was okay. So that way, he was taking money everywhere. But there was like a local municipal school across from the temple. So he had a policy that if anyone wanted to be appointed as a teacher, the ladies, I guess most of the teachers were ladies, they had to like have relations with him. And then there was something where I think his wife found out he was having an affair with someone else. Anyway, he like was exposed. And then right in front of the temple, there was this huge protest march, where they were holding placards, you know, condemning him.
Wow.
And maybe even like a picture or something with chapels around, yeah. You know, like the highest insult. And then we thought of Lord Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So we see both results from the saga of Hare Krishna land. The devotees who dedicated their lives to the service of Krishna, based on Krishna's promise here in Bhagavad Gita, they will go back home, back to Godhead. And the enemies, who only became enemies because of their own nature, not because Srila Prabhupada did anything against them, they got their reactions. But even their reactions are good for them to purify them of their envious nature so that they can also improve. And because somehow or other they came in touch with Krishna consciousness. So Krishna punishes them to reform them and purify them. And at the same time, I'm sure they'll get benefit because they were always saying Hare Krishna. Mr. Matre was always going to the newspapers. Hare Krishna is this, Hare Krishna is that, Hare Krishna temple is illegal, Hare Krishna people are drug addicts, Hare Krishna people are smugglers, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then the people would read the newspaper, Hare Krishna is this, Hare Krishna that. So indirectly they were also spreading. So Krishna is so merciful, he'll even give them some benefit. Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna Land Ki Jai, Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai, New Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, Sovas Prabhu Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur
Premi
Ki Jai.
He was in want right from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
by the way.
Yeah, everyone should know that Maharaj is involved with this temple project from the very beginning. And he performed all his austerities, and Srila Prabhupada became very dependent upon his service there.
Yes. Well, without him, you know, the temple would not have been existence.
That's right.
Yes.
It was really amazing because Giriraj Maharaj managed it so well, it became an immediate hit. Mm. I mean, as soon as that temple went up, the people just started flooding there.
That's true. It's one of the main tourist spots in Bombay. I mean, there's not much in Bombay, just Gateway of India. But we get buses and buses. Well, we get school children coming in buses to see the temple. Mm. We get tourists coming in buses from all over. Mm. So we even had like buses of, you know, tourists from Rajasthan coming to the temple. And of course from all over Maharashtra. That's true.
And in the festival, you know, if they have a congregation gathers around 30,000 people. Some Janmashtami, big Janmashtami festival, the temple.
Yeah. Well, the regular Sunday program, I think, was something like what you said. Between, I forget the figures now, but it was, I think, it was at least 10,000 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Maybe 25,000.
Wow.
And during the week, 1,000 or 2,000 on an ordinary day. And Janmashtami was... The estimates vary, and I also forget, but I think minimum 5 lakhs up to 20 lakhs.
Wow. Yeah.
The queue for darshan was 2 miles long.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just... And not just single file.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the whole street. The whole street was full of people waiting in queue, and it would go all the way down Juhu Road to the Juhu Church, which is... He also got in on it, the preacher from the church. You know, they all, like, you know, they all came together. They all had their own motives. But yeah, and then it would wind around, just amazing. And it televised. First they would come and film maybe 15 minutes and show it on television, Janmashtami. Now, of course, then there was like cable television. Now they have like live coverage of Krishna Janmashtami at Hare Krishna Land for hours. Yes.
By the way, my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktichar Goswami Maharaj, he really dedicated part number 15 totally to His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. So how Giriraj watched that part number 15, glorifying His Holiness.
Well, it's about Shila Prabhupada. It's about
and all the devotees who helped.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.